Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Boston-based Grammy-nominated Palestinian cellist, composer, and educator, Nassim Alatrush. We took a deep dive into his debut and new 2026 album, Bright Colors on a Dark Canvas, along with his ride in the world of music. This groundbreaking artist whose music bridges Arabic, Western classical traditions, and contemporary jazz is stellar. He reimagines the cello as a leading voice in Arabic music, an instrument capable not only of lyrical beauty, but of improvisation, storytelling, and emotional depth beyond conventional boundaries. He reimagines the cello as a leading voice in Arabic music, an instrument capable not only of lyrical beauty, but of improvisation, storytelling, and emotional depth beyond conventional boundaries. He toured as a soloist while also performing in various ensembles, including the Global Messengers with Grammy-winning pianist Danilo Perez and the Turtle Island Quartet, which is on tour with Grammy-winning composer and trumpeter Terrence Blanchard. We cover his journey from Jerusalem to America and all the stories in between. Enjoy this interview. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into the album and all of the work that you've been doing in your career. So again, thank you for taking a minute out today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the interview. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So let's begin our journey with a question that I always start with. I've talked about this for a long time. The COVID 6 years ago, it was happening. It changed all of our lives, especially musicians. How did you get through that era? And how has it changed the way that you create and do things today?
Thank you for this great question. COVID was, I can imagine, like for many other musicians, it came as a surprise and came as a shock to our entire maybe existence in a way, or what we thought is the way we're living our life, because suddenly the main source of income for us, which is performing, suddenly wasn't there anymore. So for me, I think the first thing that I decided to do for COVID, during COVID, was to focus on teaching and expand that aspect of my career, and focus on practicing and composing music. And you know, just it was a really amazing period of creativity because of the fact that I just had the time to be in nature. During that time, I moved from Boston to Austin, Texas, where the weather was nicer and I could be outside more often. And it was an interesting period of time because I was teaching online mostly, and I was focusing on creating more projects and compositions and applying for grants and all that stuff. And that translated into what came right after COVID. Immediately after things starting opening up, I got offers to teach at multiple colleges, including Berklee College of Music, Tufts University, Longy School of Music. All of that happened as I was building my my teaching portfolio during COVID. But the other thing that happened is that I was, because of the, I think partially because of all the social media and the online activity I was doing during COVID, I was approached by the Turtle Island String Quartet to be to audition for, to be part of the of their group, and right after COVID kind of started ending, we went on tour for 5 years with Terrence Blanchard, playing all over the world as part of the Turtle Island String Quartet. And touring with people like Danilo Perez in his Global Messengers group, recording an album that got nominated for a Grammy in the Best Latin Jazz Album. So all of this was a result of time focusing and working during COVID and creating more online presence and putting the music out there.
So talk to me a little bit about the new album, Bright Colors on a Dark Canvas. I love the name of the album. I'm curious
Thank
what your
you.
vision was. What were you going after?
This album, Bright Colors on Dark Canvas, is a 10-year project. It started when I was during my time at the Global Master's Program, Global Jazz Master's Program at Berklee College of Music. And as part of my final thesis, I wanted to do something more personal. And I, as a Palestinian, I wanted to tell the story of what a refugee goes through when they have to leave their home, and go deep into the psychology of any person who's suddenly leave where they're from, everything, all their memories behind, and they're forced to leave and go far away from home. During that time, there was a lot of things going around the world, wars and people moving from in Syria and many other parts of the world. And I started meeting with refugees and hearing their stories. And just reflecting on that. So I wrote a four movement suite. The first movement is supposed to reflect the nostalgia and the memories of home, what home is, thinking about that concept. And I was thinking about my home town, which is Bethlehem in the West Bank of Palestine, West Bank. And Bethlehem is an old city with beautiful old streets, thousands of years old streets. I was remembering the smell of the pita bread bakeries in the morning, the Nativity Church, the place birth of Jesus, and the sounds of the bells of the church, the markets, the old markets, the bazaars, all of that stuff. So that's the first movement of the suite. So you hear it has some nostalgia and it has some of this kind of memories, but some of it is also it has some happy memories and childish memories in there too. The second movement, Ramad, which in Arabic means ashes, is the war movement. So it's more, you can hear it's very intense. You hear a lot of dramatic sounds of war, almost like, and then the piano and the percussion and the cello.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
And it's very exciting, fast, because it's supposed to create that adrenaline feeling. The third movement, Lifta, is named after Palestinian village where I actually, when I composed the piece, I went to that village and I shot a video there. It's an old village with very old limestone houses that was completely depopulated. So since 1948, there's no one living there. So it's almost like a ghost town. And when I first visited that town, it really it created this inspiration. It's a gorgeous place. It's right next to Jerusalem. And but it has a very intense feeling of sadness when you see the houses without their owner. So I went there, shot the video, and the music is for that movement is very it's almost based on a bass line that is constant, slow bass line, quarter notes, which is supposed to create the feeling of someone who's walking and carrying their belongings, so heavy walking. And on top, the cello is playing a soaring melody that is more like an elegy, a sad elegy, like a cry out for help. So it's a very, I would say, in the album, that's probably the heaviest movement emotionally. The last movement, which is it's probably the one that reflects the most brightness in the entire suite. And the name for it is Risala. In Arabic, Risala means message. And what I think I wanted to reflect in that one is that that we have to always keep hope, and that eventually those refugees have to keep hope of returning back, but also they can find in their location where they are right now, possibly find that common humanity with the country and the people that they where they are. So that's in that movement, you hear two dances. The first dance is in a groove that is Iraqi groove, and it's Georgina. It has a sense of swing to it, and it creates a little bit more of instability. And the second part, which is the brightest part, the dance in 12/8, Moroccan 12/8, and that part is very. It's a groove that's really ingrained in this. Really, you feel grounded with it. And the reason I chose that is because I wanted to create a sense of belonging and finding that hope and brightness in the end. So it ends with a bright dance with the strings playing and improvisations in the cello, piano, and percussion. So that's a suite. And originally, when I first created it, the intention was to perform it to fundraise for refugees. And we did some concerts with visual arts, where we played the music with visual arts depicting the same images I was describing just now. And we raised funds for different refugees in Vermont and in the East Coast to resettle in the U.S. Over the years, it developed into from a smaller project, like a string, like cello, piano, percussion, and bass, into a bigger project, a piece for string, cello, piano, percussion, and string orchestra. And that happened mainly when I started working with a dear mentor of mine, Eugene Friesen, four-time Grammy winner. And he collaborated on writing the string arrangement for the string orchestra. And he's been a big, big support in this project ever since it started.
So, take me back to your beginnings. I get stuck, whatever people talk about Jerusalem and Bethlehem, I get stuck on the idea of the most renowned savior, messiah, spiritual, human entity that ever came onto this earth is from there. And to be next to that, to grow up, for that to be your native land, that has to shape and form the way that you live life and create.
Absolutely. I am. I grew up as part of a Palestinian Christian family, and we are proud of being part of this community that goes all the way back to Jesus. The first Christian community, and where I was born is literally 5 minutes walk from where Jesus was born. So that by itself gives us a certain feeling of belonging. I guess it's just the important thing is that it gives us a certain responsibility to keep our presence in that region, first of all, because having Christians remaining in that region is very important for keeping the message of Jesus alive there. And with everything going on in the world and in that region specifically, it has become very hard, and so many people have left, and our numbers are declining. So that's one important thing. But I guess the important thing is that the message that Jesus brought, the message of peace, is something that we carry and take and express to standing for the weak and helping the poor and message of peace, that kind of and loving your neighbors, all that. This is something that as a Christian from Bethlehem, you take with you anywhere you go.
So, how did music become your life? How did they pick up the cello? How did this career that's turned into Grammy nominations and accolades and all of these wonderful things, how did this happen?
I started, it was a coincidence almost. When I started cello, I never heard a cello, I think, until I was maybe 12 years old. And I wanted to play a violin or something that sounded like a cello when I first heard it by coincidence, and there was no opportunity. Like in Bethlehem, there was no teacher at the time for violin in the beginning. And my brother, I'm very grateful for him. He told me there's something called the cello, which is just like a violin, just bigger. And I said, okay. I went back to the School of Music there, the Conservatory of Music in Bethlehem, and I said, okay, if you don't have a violin teacher, what about the cello? Do you have a cello teacher? And they did have a cello teacher, but they were very surprised that someone is asking to learn the cello. At the time, there was no one like in the entire Bethlehem region other than my teacher. No one was studying cello. No, there were no cello students. And quickly, I became one of the only cellists in the entire country. Maybe we were two or three. And that was really great for me because I got to play all the gigs, you know, anyone who needed cello. And and that pushed me to start a professional career early on. After a few months, 6 months of joining the conservatory, I was asked to join the Palestine Youth Orchestra on a tour in Jordan, and then joining the Palestine National Orchestra. It was terrifying at that young age, and only after 6 months of playing an instrument to be asked to join an orchestra at that level. So I had to quickly learn all the positions on the cello in a very short time. But I had all the support, you know, and I'm really grateful. And that led to deciding to want to take a career in music and take it more seriously. I went to Germany, studied there for 1 year before getting a full scholarship to go to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And the moving to Boston kind of changed my view of music because I went from playing classical cello to wanting to do more of a multi-genre approach to the cello. I started playing, I started actually focusing more on the music I grew up playing, which is Arabic music, after moving away from, it's interesting how that happens. But I started studying jazz, rock, and you know, other styles, and collaborating with artists from many places around the world, from India, from Europe, and that translated into the career I have today, which is a career that has so many.
You can't reason with the sun. Trust us, we've tried. This summer, it's time to put that angry ball of fire on mute. Columbia's OmniShade technology is engineered to protect you from the sun's harsh rays that can burn and damage your skin. The sun is relentless, but so is our gear. Level up your summer at Columbia.com to spend more time outside and less time slathering on aloe lotion. You're welcome. Columbia, engineered for whatever.
So many sides and collaborations with musicians from all around the world.
So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? What wakes you up every day to collaborate, to make this music, to be a part of this community?
I think you said that word community. I really love the most about music is the fact that we get to make music as part of a team. And usually it's people that you're friends with, so that just that aspect of doing something that is really really meaningful and that makes people feel good and you can create a difference while doing something that you love, you know. So I remember the first time I got paid for a recording as a young cellist, I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Like, I should be paying you because you gave me this opportunity to make music. I feel so blessed the fact that we can, the fact that, you know, a musician is able to, the fact that I can live from it, you know, and make a living and doing something I love is just a blessing.
So I want to circle back to the new album. What are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album that took a long time to make? There's different movements. There's a lot of emotion. What do you hope they get from it?
A couple of things. I think the musical message in there is the I want to show the cello. This is my, I maybe didn't mention this before. This is my first album.
Yeah.
My first album as a leader, as a band leader. And I really wanted this album to be kind of like an introduction to my vision of how I hear the cello sound to be, which is there's you know, the cello, you hear cello in Baroque music or in classical romantic music, or But my approach to the cello is a combination of this more of a earthy global sound to the cello coming from the Arabic traditional music, but also the improvisation aspect and the freedom that comes from that, coming from jazz. So I really want to establish that as a new vision of what the cello can do in a setting like that. And in terms of the social message, it's I really want to create a message of that when you hear the music of a certain group of people, you can really help you feel and have more understanding and compassion. So that's mainly the other message, is that to create compassion and understanding through music. And when I recorded this in Boston, actually, I had different string players from all around the world, and the soloist, the pianist on the album, Chase Moran, he's from California. The percussionist, another soloist, a dear friend of mine, also George Lernes, is from Cyprus. I'm from Palestine, and the string orchestra, they were from all around the world. And the idea was to have this unity, feel the feeling of global unity under it.
So, if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see one concert, one performance, whether it's jazz or otherwise, where are you going to go? What do you want to see?
Oh, I think it's hard
Yeah, I get
to
it.
because there are so many great ones. If I'm allowed to have multiple, but I think,
Yes.
yeah, because I would love to be in the presence of John Coltrane's A Love Supreme. But I know this music wasn't performed much; it was mainly a recording. But just to be in a room where this was played the first time, I think that would be some kind of experience that will take you to another place. But there's also a singer from Egypt who's a legendary singer, probably the most important singer in the history of Arabic music. Her name is Kulthum. And whenever she sang, she would the streets of Egypt would be empty because or the entire Arab world, because people would sit around the radio to listen to her performance. And I grew up listening to her and just having that same feeling that I have when I listen to Coltrane, is that you get those goosebumps and you feel like you're. Yeah, we have a word in Arabic called tarab. Tarab is a concept when music helps you reach ecstasy through music, like a higher state of mind. And she's one singer that helps me reach that state, reach that, just feel completely happy through music. So I would love to be part of one of her performances. Let's just sit there and watch.
So it's interesting you mentioned John Coltrane, because last week on my 955th show, I profiled Dave Stryker, the guitarist, and he just recorded at Rudy Van Gelder Studios and literally said he had to get over the fact that that's where Love Supreme was recorded. It like he had to like take a minute and be like, all right, I'm going to take it in, but I have to make an album right now. He was totally bespeckled by it, which that studio has birthed so many iconic, classic, unbelievable albums. But yeah, I think the interesting thing about that album is you were talking about it, and I think about all these different angles of that Coltrane album. It was really tailored as a prayer. Like the whole thing was a liturgy that he kind of put to a horn. And I think there was a sacred nature of that, which is why it hadn't been replicated and put out. I think it was like a prayer. It was a very unique one moment, almost. You know what I'm saying? It seems like.
I think so. And it's it was just a moment that was captured on that. That's the beauty of recordings, and the beauty of jazz is that you never do the same thing twice,
Yeah.
and maybe it's a good thing they didn't play it, because it stayed there the way we hear it now.
It's pristine. So let me ask you this. At the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Wow. Yeah, that's a very, I don't think I was ever asked this question. You mean as an identity or as a.
Just you're the persona that's driving who you are, and everybody sees you in a light. Your family will, your friends will, everyone on the bandstand, everyone that buys your music, we all see you in a different light. But you ultimately are the driving force behind who you are. So what is your perception of what you're putting out into the world?
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Yeah, this is something that definitely I could spend days thinking about, but I think ideally I would think of myself as I just want to make music that makes people feel good and happy and makes the world a better place in any way possible. And as an educator, I that's a very important part of my life. I just want to take everything I learned on the road and being a musician and all the musical lessons and the lessons of humanity that you learn and see if I can also give it to the next generation and help create help continue that legacy. Yeah, I'm family oriented, and my family means so much to me. And I think that's a big part of who I am as well, just being there for my family.
So, Bright Colors on a Dark Canvas, new album debut. Best of luck on it. Thank you for taking a minute out today. If people want to buy or download, is Bandcamp the best place?
Yes,
Okay.
Bandcamp is a great place to get it, but it's also on all the streaming platforms.
Streaming. Yeah, for sure. Well, it was wonderful to meet you. Thank you, man. Thank you for taking a minute out today. Best of luck.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Jerusalem, Boston, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Nassim for his time and story. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.